Now, as I've been saying all this week in Australia, it's Refugee Week, and that's coinciding with World Refugee Day today. I mentioned earlier, there's a record number of people globally have had to flee their homes. That is 65.6 million people. And yet somehow the topic of refugees remains a political hot potato here in Australia. Now, Tim O'Connor is the Communications Director for the Refugee Council of Australia. He joins me on the phone. Tim, very good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, look, the issue of refugee policy, it's just been such a key area of politics here in Australia over the past few years. How has our refugee policy changed over time?
Well, it's probably over the last decade and a half, really, Nick, that it's become such a political flashpoint. And I think the what we've seen, we've really got a schizophrenic policy in Australia where, you know, what gets often lost in the very toxic political debate is that Australia is very good at resettling refugees. We have a long history of it. More than almost 900,000 refugees have been settled in Australia since the end of World War II. And, you know, they've made an incredible contribution to our country economically through people like Frank Lowy, whether it be through science, like people like Sir Gus Nussel, or culture, people like Ando or Lord Deng Adour. There's so many people who've come as refugees who've made a great contribution to our country. But that often gets overlooked because we've got this very draconian approach, particularly to people seeking asylum, particularly if they come by boat. And I guess what the figures, you know, there's really stark figures you just mentioned of 65 million people displaced from their homes, shows that this is not an Australian problem. It's really a global problem. And Australia's current approach, which is very much, you know, put up the walls and keep people away, is really only keeping Australia and the international community further away from getting to a solution, to managing what is, you know, a global challenge.
We hear a lot about the way refugees are treated globally. I mean, is Australia an outlier in our policies at the moment?
Well, again, it comes, you know, there's that schizophrenic nature of the manage. We treat people who come here as refugees, we treat them particularly well. We have very good resettlement services that are well funded by government, and people, you know, get the opportunity. They're met off the plane. They get taken to a house for a short period of accommodation. They get opportunity to learn, you know, 510 hours of English lessons. The kids get enrolled in school. They get access to healthcare. All those things are fantastic and probably lead the world. But on the other end of it, we're, you know, as Amnesty says, we torture people who come seeking asylum, seeking our safety. If they come by boat, we send them to these island gulags, warehouse them, and all sorts of, you know, horrendous abuses have happened there. It's entirely unsustainable, that policy, in terms of the damage it does to Australia's international reputation, in terms of the billions and billions of dollars that it costs the Australian taxpayer. But also it's unsustainable in the manner in which we're really badly, badly damaging innocent people.
Now, while we're talking about offshoring, we did see earlier this month the class action against the government for almost 2,000 people in Manus Island settled on the first day of what we thought was going to be quite a long trial. Do you think this has a big significance for other Australian refugees who are possibly heading over or possibly still being detained?
Well, I think what that really says is the government's thrown up the white flag here. It doesn't want an independent examination of what's happening in these island gulags. It doesn't want... there was 100 witnesses, almost 100 witnesses, which were due to come before that trial to really explain the depravity with which Australia is treating the people on Manus and Nauru. What it means for Australia's refugee policy, I mean, it's difficult to say. What it does really show is even if the US resettlement deal does come to fruition, which we very much hope it does, even though it's quite a perverse solution to a problem of Australia's making, it's still going to leave many, many hundreds, if not, you know, over 1,000 people who are stuck in Nauru and Manus. And we need a sustainable solution. The option's always been for the government to bring them here. We saw John Howard do it back in the early 2000s. This government should be doing it. It should do it right now.
Look, Refugee Week, I know, is about celebrating the contributions that refugees make to Australian society. You mentioned a few of them before. Do we just lose that individual human element in the debate, do you think?
Oh, absolutely we do. Absolutely. It gets caught up in the toxic politics. You know, you see the headlines, they're often horrendous. I mean, we've got cases of child sexual abuse which are occurring on Nauru that have been alleged and never been investigated. You know, it's the total perversity of Australia's, you know, current policy and current approach. And what we've got to remember is 65.6 million people. So it's not just a statistic. It's people. Each one of these, you know, as an individual, they've got a mother, a father, a sister, a brother. They're people, and they've had to flee their homes because they're running away from persecution or they're running away from conflict. they need assistance, and Australia could be doing a lot more to be assisting people when they do flee. So, you know, Australia's not a great contributor to the, you know, almost 12 million people who've had to flee Syria, you know, in recent years. You know, we have done very little to support the Rohingya, more than 65,000 who had to flee across the border to Bangladesh over the last few months. There's very little support. And what Australia could be doing is working with the government of Bangladesh, for instance, to provide appropriate shelter, to ensure that those children can go to school, to ensure that they can get access to healthcare, and ensure that the Bangladesh government lets them work. Because when they don't have that basic safety or those basic rights delivered, people keep moving. So if Australia really wants to stop the boats, as they're so, you know, our government is so, you know, saying continually, then we really need to look at how we support people when they flee and ensure that they can go back, you know, as quickly as possible.
What can we do as individuals to encourage the Australian government to take a better stance on this?
Well, there's many things we can do as individuals to support refugees. I mean, there's you know, literally, a refugee council is a peak body. We have hundreds of members who are working every day with asylum seekers and refugees. You can get involved with those organisations. You can get involved with organisations like the Refugee Council. But we can also talk to it, because ultimately it's a political problem, and it's a problem that our politicians have made. So we need to really take it to our politicians. You should be contacting your local member. I'm heading off down to Canberra today for World Refugee Day ceremony, and politicians, when I'm down there talking to them, they say, well, people in the street never raise these issues with us. We've got to start raising these issues with our politicians, because we need a political solution to what is a problem of our politicians making, but it's also a challenge the global community faces.
Tim, I'll let you go and get that flight to Canberra. Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Tim O'Connor there. He's from the Refugee Council of Australia, talking about Refugee Week and, of course, World Refugee Day. We'll have a link up to the Refugee Week website on 2SER.com. And as he said, there are ways to get involved, some of which is just by raising this with politicians as often as we can.